Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is powerful, and as we've just sung, it is mighty to save. That your great word comes to us tonight in the book of Isaiah, and we pray that you'll open not only the word to our understanding, but open our hearts to it as well, that we might hear your voice and do what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I just want to ask you, what are you looking forward to at the moment? I think the uni students probably are not looking forward to exams, or maybe looking... Oh, the holidays are after that, okay. I wonder if you've got any good things coming up. Maybe you've got a birthday. For me, I've got another 11 and a half months to wait to my birthday again. Maybe it's a wedding anniversary, or maybe it's a wedding. Maybe it's a big party that you're counting down till. A special holiday lined up in those uni or school holidays. Maybe there's a show coming to town. Maybe there's a movie opening next week. A sporting event. Maybe you're looking forward to seeing this on Facebook after next week. Yay, just won the Origin series, because this post has never been seen on Facebook. New South Wales has never won the Origin since Facebook started in 2006. How about that? Maybe you were looking forward.
Just proves what rubbish Facebook is.
Yeah. well, I guess there's always a first time for everything, but you don't have to be too optimistic about that. I wouldn't be. What are you looking forward to, friends?
Weekend.
The weekend? Yeah? All right. Good. Folks, maybe some of you guys are actually sitting there feeling quite depressed. Not because of Wednesday night, because, you know, as Maroon supporters, we know what we do. But you rack your brains and you can't see anything you're looking forward to. You kind of look into the future. And all you see is hard work, more exams, more assignments, more bills to pay, more difficult people to deal with, more difficulties in general. Maybe it's bad health. Maybe it's the sort of worries that really just trip you up. Friends, I'm sorry if that's the case, if you're feeling not that upbeat tonight. But whatever your life situation might be, tonight, I want to encourage you. I hope to encourage you with God's word from Isaiah. Because God doesn't want us to go through this life with nothing to look forward to. God, in fact, wants you to know that no matter how bleak your future might look like, right? No matter how bad things might look like at the moment, in fact, no matter how good things might look like in the moment, a time is coming when everything will be as good as it possibly can get, to God's great praise. Right, and we're going to get to see that tonight in Isaiah. He's talking about a remnant. Okay, a remnant is just a fancy way of saying the leftovers. You know, the thing you find in the fridge that you take for work the next day is a remnant. It's quite a long section we're looking at in this chapter, in these chapters here. It goes from the middle of chapter 9 all the way through the end of verse chapter 12. Okay, but the idea of the leftovers, the remnant, it kind of is like the glue that glues the whole thing together. You can kind of see it there in your outlines, if you have one in front of you, one of those cafe church leaflets. It's there in chapter 10, verse 19, 21, 22, chapter 11, verse 11, etc. Okay, we've already been kind of introduced to the holy God of Israel. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. He's got these grand designs, these great plans, huge plans to transform his people, to bless his world. His blessed creation. Last week we saw that he's going to do that through the leader of his transformed people. And this week here in Isaiah, we see this transformation of the people themselves. Okay, but it's only a remnant. It's only the leftovers in the fridge. It's not the full roast, it's only what's left over. It's the remnant, a fragment. But for whom? God has some pretty spectacular things in store. First point on your outline there, before we get to the nitty-gritty, it's worth noticing that even though this is kind of the first time that the actual word remnant has been used, the idea of a remnant, it's actually been floating around in the scene for a little while now, especially since the end of chapter 6. You remember chapter 6? You remember this kind of bit there where Isaiah sees the vision of the holiness of God, and Isaiah kind of tells Israel they're going to be punished for disregarding the holiness of God. Israel is going to be laid waste like a forest leveled of trees. It's just going to be all these stumps everywhere. That's all there's going to be. Remember how in the very last verse, though, of that chapter, we kind of get this mention of a holy seed being this stump in the land. It's kind of a clue that from a little stump, there will be a small trace, from a small trace of Israel left over after the judgment. From that, there's going to be new growth. Now, second clue came last week when Isaiah was telling King Ahaz how the nation of Assyria, remember that country that Ahaz, the king, ran to for help instead of God. God would actually use Assyria as punishment. I kind of didn't get to it because of the sake of time, but in that little interaction there, Isaiah gets told, take your firstborn son, take your boy, and go on a, you know, go with daddy for work kind of day, as he goes and confronts King Ahaz, the king of Israel, and to tell him that God actually will punish them through Assyria. And that little boy's name was Shear Jashub, which means remnant. A remnant will return. All right, kind of catchy, I know. Maybe those of you guys kind of thinking about a boy's name, try that, because the other boy that Isaiah has, Mahar Shalal Hashbaz, is kind of a little bit longer and a bit of a mouthful. But Shear Jashub, all right, that's Isaiah's way of cluing us in on the fact that a remnant, a little leftover bit, God will preserve and will return to the land. That the remnant will survive. So you see, Isaiah's been dropping hints all along since chapter 6 and chapter 7 that in God's great plan to transform the world, there's a special place and a special role for this leftover piece, for this remnant of Israel. And what's only been hinted at, though, in the text so far, now becomes the main topic of conversation, as Isaiah describes the appearance of a remnant after God's judgment has come through. That's where we are tonight. So point two on your outlines there, appearance of a remnant. Have a look with me in chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. Please have your phones or your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 10. It says this, when the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, remember, that's a way to code for saying the people of God. When he's done all that, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. So that's kind of they're telling us that this little episode follows very closely what we saw last week, that the king Ahaz decided to trust Assyria for help instead of God, and judgment came instead of protection. God said he was going to use Assyria to punish Judah instead of protect Judah. Well, here now in verse 12, God adds to all this by saying, when Yahweh has finished his work against Mount Zion, when he's finished punishing Judah with Assyria, well, Yahweh is going to turn around and punish Assyria. Now, God's going to turn around and level Assyria as well for her sins. And if you think about it, it actually makes Ahaz's decision last week to go and run and trust Assyria doubly stupid. Not only is Assyria going to punish Judah when they actually get there instead of protect Judah, but now that very country who they thought would protect them, whose power they thought they could rely on, well, that very country is going to be laid to waste by the very God that they overlooked in order to trust that country. King Ahaz's decision to look to Assyria for help, it was a dumb choice. But back in chapter 10 here, God goes on to say, after punishing Judah and after punishing Assyria, after all of that, a remnant, a leftover bit, is going to appear. Have a look in verse 20. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. A remnant will return. Literally, that's Shear Jashub there in Hebrew. Do you get what it's saying? A remnant is going to appear that no longer relies on him who struck him down. In other words, a remnant will no longer rely on Assyria, like King Ahaz stupidly did last week. A remnant will no longer rely on military muscle or political power or diplomatic ties for their help. A remnant will now truly rely on the Lord their God. But sadly, it's only going to be a remnant. It's only going to be a leftover piece. Have a look in verse 22 to 23. Though your people, O Israel, be like the sand by the sea, only a remnant will return. Destruction has been decreed, overwhelming and righteous. The Lord, Yahweh Almighty, will carry out the destruction decreed upon the whole land. Sadly, destruction is coming. Punishment is being decreed, it says in verse 23. The first half of our passage that we've skipped over tonight, halfway from halfway through verse chapter 9 all the way to halfway through chapter 10, we have God saying that the northern kingdom, Israel, will be completely wiped out for her sins. And now the southern kingdom, Judah's sinfulness, has made that inevitable for them as well, thanks to King Ahaz and his dumb decisions. So this remnant is only going to be a remnant. It's only going to be a small number out of all of God's people. But as God keeps saying, hang in there, because at least there will be a remnant. Somebody will survive. So Isaiah keeps encouraging his listeners to do what King Ahaz refused to do last week, to keep trusting, to keep listening to Yahweh rather than run to other countries that look more powerful, that look mighty like Assyria. Keep looking with me, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, this is what Yahweh, the Lord Almighty, says, O my people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you as Egypt did. Very soon my anger against you will end and my wrath will be directed to their destruction. Can you see what tonight's passage is all about? It's about the survival of a remnant after the judgment. After the judgment of Judah, and after the judgment of the Assyrians. They are to trust God that that's going to happen. All this talk of a remnant surviving, this leftover bit surviving, and remaining faithful to God through the hardship, it's a bit like those plants you hear in the bush that survive bushfires. When the bushfires kind of come through, this is kind of the Black Saturday bushfires a couple of years ago down in Victoria, it's actually the fire itself that causes some of these plants to release their seeds. So Banksias are like one of those plants. Okay, you can get a Banksia cone. All right, you can chuck it on the barbecue and cook it. You can put it in the oven. If it's hot enough, long enough, what will happen is it'll pop. All right, the Banksia cone will release its seeds because it's actually the hardship, the heat itself that promotes the seed to emerge. That's kind of pretty much like what Isaiah is saying what's going to happen to Judah. That the fire, the heat of God's intense judgment, that is going to sweep through the land like a bushfire. That's unavoidable, but the very act of judgment there will in turn be the thing that brings out the seed, that identifies, that perfects a remnant of Israel. That as they stay faithful to God through the hardship, that's what's actually going to define them as a remnant that really relies on God. Here's a very, very interesting thing that happens throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, salvation only ever comes through judgment. Doesn't matter if you go to Egypt, to the Exodus, doesn't matter, you come here to Isaiah, you pick up the life story of Jesus. It's always judgment first, or suffering first, and then glory. Sometimes in kind of popular kind of Quran books that you might get, or TV evangelists you might catch early in the morning, too early for me. I don't know why anyone would watch movies, TV that early in the morning. You kind of can get the sense that life is actually just going to be, what's the right word? Life is going to be good if you just trust Jesus. If you have enough faith, everything will work out well for you. Well, I'm sorry, the Bible does not promise that. The Bible promises that it is judgment first. It is hardship first, glory later. For us, in life, it's difficulties now and glory in heaven. We'll get a taste of it now. As we kind of get together, as we fellowship around God's word, as we really kind of get to grips with each other in relationship and see God working in each other's lives, that's a glimpse of heaven. But friends, that's all we're going to get. We're just only going to get glimpses. The best is yet to come. So don't be fooled. Don't get kind of sucked in by people who say that. If you just kind of follow this way of thinking, follow this way of thinking about Jesus and this way of praying or whatever it is, you'll have a good life. Friends, that is not what the Bible promises. And here's the thing. For this remnant whom God has great things in store, it's judgment first, then glory later. Because look now at the king that God has in store, because it is going to be glorious when glory comes. Take a look at chapter 11. Skip over to chapter 11. Have a look in verse 1 of chapter 11. Isaiah has a focus on a particular person. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. All right, quick pop quiz there. Can anyone tell me who is... Sorry, keep your mouth shut if you were here this morning. Who's Jesse? Who's the Jesse of the father of? Yeah, Jess? That's right, King David's father. Well done. Go to the head of the class. This is basically what Isaiah is saying, is that rather than starting over at David, we're starting right over again with the shoot that comes out of the stump of Jesse. Right? You see, it's saying that this new king over the remnants, he's going to take things right back to square one before it all got kind of messed up and perverted. Back before the pomp and the ceremony and the arrogance of the kings in Jerusalem. Back to the humble beginnings in Bethlehem where Jesse lived. This new king will come and he'll be sticking around for a long time. Have a look at verse 2. The spirit of Yahweh will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, this is all building on what we saw last week in terms of the king, isn't it? All right, remember last week after the failure of woeful King Ahaz, we saw this wonderful new king. Remember him? Wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father, prince of peace, a king who's going to establish a kingdom of righteousness and justice. Well, now Isaiah's kind of starting to flesh it out even more. He's going to tell us even more about this king, that he's going to be this king with wisdom. He's going to be this king with knowledge and understanding. He's going to be a king with power. He's going to be a king with compassion, a king under whom you will feel protected. You will feel safe. You will feel secure, a king with insight and who is just. Keep reading there. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. In other words, he's not going to be tricked by outward appearances, right? And or decide by what he hears with his ears. In other words, he's not going to be swayed by flattery. You can't use your gift of the gab to try and talk your way around this king. Verse 4, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be in his belt, that will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Friends, I don't know how you're feeling tonight. Are you kind of feeling like you're tired of being ripped off, taken advantage of in this world? Are you tired of feeling vulnerable, of feeling unsafe, of feeling insecure? Maybe some of you are just feeling plain tired. Maybe still some others are feeling just confused, not knowing whose advice to take in this world. Well, friends, this is the king for you. A king who is insightful. He can't pull the wool over his eyes. A king who is righteous. He'll always speak the truth. He won't say things just to make his life easy at your expense. A king you will feel safe with. A king who will afford you protection and peace. Because now Isaiah goes on to describe how wonderful, how cool it'll be to be with this king in this kingdom. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. What an amazing picture, eh? The cow will feed with the bear rather than the bear will feed on the cow. All right. Their young will lie down together and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. The idea is, and be okay, right? They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's just a wonderful poetic picture, isn't it, of this place that is without harm, a place without threat, a place without menace, a place without hazard or risk. It's a place where you won't need to take out insurance anymore. Or if some of you guys have to do risk assessments for camps or children's activities, or you do workplace health and safety at your work, you won't need to do any of that anymore. In fact, if someone reminded me this morning that this is really alarming because a lot of people will be out of jobs in the new creation. Police, firemen, whatnot. Because you won't, in this place, have a need for a police force. You won't need to, in this place, lock up your possessions. You won't need to, in this place, under this king, have to even lock your doors anymore. Friends, what a great place to be. Well, who's going to live in this place? Well, that's right. It's the remnant. It's the leftover bit of God's people. But there's a surprising twist in this. Keep reading with me. Keep your eyes in the Bible. Verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse, all right, that king we've been talking about, will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Do you notice what it's saying there? Look very, very closely there. The root of Jesse will stand as a banner. He's going to be a rallying point. He's going to be a gathering place for the peoples. It's plural there. And the nations, again, plural. It's not just Israel anymore that's going to be part of God's remnant, but the nations, the countries and the peoples of the world will rally to him. In other words, this king of the remnant, he's somehow going to open things up for all people to be incorporated into the remnant. This king of the remnant is somehow going to make it possible for all people, not just Israel, not just a physical descendant of Abraham, to be in his kingdom. And what does it say about his kingdom? His place of rest will be glorious. Glorious. Wouldn't that be lovely? Just to be at rest. To be in the glorious place of safety, where there'll be nothing to harm you. That's the kingdom of this king. Friends, can I ask you honestly, are you going to be in it? Is that what you're looking forward to? Is that where you're heading? Because friends, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will. That's where you'll end up. Because of course, we saw last week, this coming king, this wonderful counselor we saw last week, this king of the remnants this week, he's of course Jesus. Jesus is that king. In fact, in a real way, all right, this is, you might need your thinking caps on here. Jesus is not only the king over the remnants, he actually turns out to be the only, he turns out to be the remnant. Okay, what I mean is this. If you keep reading through the Old Testament, okay, the rest of the Old Testament, we have basically what Isaiah says will happen. All right, king of Assyria comes through, smashes Judah. Okay, but the problem is God's people still don't get it. They don't return to God. So they're punished even more harshly by the Babylonians, who come and besiege Jerusalem and then eventually break down the walls and take people away. But they still don't get it. They still don't return to God. They still are not the faithful remnant that God has called them to be. And so Jesus Christ appears, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, on whom the Spirit of the Lord rests. He appears and he calls on Israel to repent. He calls them on them to be faithful, that faithful remnant that they meant to be. And you'll never guess what their reaction was. Or you might. They crucified him. So friends, on that lonely hill, about 33 AD, on a Friday morning, it turns out that the only remnant left is Jesus himself, the remnant one. And yet so dazzling, So amazing is this King Jesus, that through his death and resurrection, the offer actually goes out to all the world, that we can join him, that our sins, as we saw in chapter 1, verse 18, can be washed as white as snow. We can be forgiven and we can be embraced by God. And we can join the ranks of people that even now from all over the world are rallying to the banner of Jesus as Jesus calls on them, as Jesus calls on us to take our place with him, to be a part of the remnant. So friends, in a real way, the song of the remnant in chapter 12 that we're about to close this section off with, in chapter 12, as we hear the song of the remnant, as they rejoice in the salvation of God and praise God for all that he's done, we, by virtue of our trust in Jesus and following Jesus, that is our song as well. Point four, last point on your outline there, the song of the remnants. It's a reflection of what we'll be celebrating on that great day. You know, that day that Isaiah's already told us about a few weeks back, the day when this world would disappear with a roar, a new creation will be ushered in, that day when God's people, God's remnant, those who are in Jesus Christ will celebrate. And chapter 12, it's a pretty good description of what we will be celebrating. Even though this was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, this is the genius of God. It describes to a T what we can celebrate because of Jesus. Let's read it. Chapter 12, verse 1. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Yahweh, Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim his name, that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. That's what we're going to be singing on that last day. The praise of God be ringing in our ears. See, even in these first 12 chapters, we're in a halfway point, okay, in this 9-week series. But even here, just after 12 chapters, Isaiah's already shown us this breathtaking panorama of God's great plans to transform his people and transform the world. It's a plan to punish rebels, but to purify the repentant. It's a plan to lay on the table that offer to wash our sins as white as snow. It's a plan where a holy God amazingly takes our guilt away and atones for sins. And it's a plan in which, yes, Israel will be punished in the short term for being an unfruitful vineyard, but it's a plan in which judgment won't be the last word. After the punishment, out of the punishment, God's plan is for a new people to emerge, for a holy seed to emerge. God's plan is for a remnant to be revealed, for a remnant to be ruled over by this dazzling king, a king of grace, wisdom, justice, righteousness, a king who is so great that all the nations will stream to him during the last days. And a king who on the final day, he's going to establish that place of peace and glorious rest, a place where there's going to be nothing to harm or destroy you. A place which will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And we who will be there will sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Friends, I just want to encourage you tonight just to dwell on these things. God doesn't want you to go through this life with nothing to look forward to. He does want you to know that the best is yet to come. Whatever is going on for you right now. And that can be helpful to know what's ahead, to keep us going. A few weeks ago, there was a boat, 6-meter boat. That's pretty big, isn't it, Brian? Yeah, reasonably? Yeah, okay, I don't know boats. So it was kind of just punting around on Moreton Bay. It got kind of caught by a freak wave and capsized. It threw 6 people in the boat into the bay. 3 of them made it into the life raft, but 3 of them were just left clinging onto the side of the boat as they just drifted around in the ocean. going further and further away, waiting for their help to arrive. Can you imagine what would be going through their heads as they just treaded water, clinging onto the side of the boat, those three particularly, and just waited? Friends, sometimes life can feel like that, can't it? Like you're just treading water. You know help is on its way, and it's good having people there with you to encourage you and support you, but in the end, you're really just kind of feeling like you're just hanging on by the skin of your teeth. You're there, you just want to be saved, you just want to be safe, you just want to rest. Friends, Isaiah is telling us tonight, the rest is coming. Hold on to King Jesus. The best is yet to come. Because one day, that root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all the peoples, and the nations will stream or rally to him and to his place of rest, and it will be glorious. And we will be able to sing, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. So friends, be encouraged, hold on, and bring on that day. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much in the way that Isaiah, even though it is so tough to read, so bleak with so much judgment going on, you take us through that to show us that judgment must first come. It is actually judgment and suffering and difficulties that perfect and bring out the remnant that identifies your people. Heavenly Father, as we, those of us who follow Jesus here, struggle along and deal with the hard things of life, we pray that you would be with us to strengthen us, strengthen our feeble arms, that we might look up and we might look at Jesus, think of our glorious King, the King of the remnant, and the glorious kingdom that he's going to bring in. Help us to see our place there on the last day when Jesus returns, that we might keep going and that we might live a life that is praiseworthy to you, that brings praises among the nations through our words and our actions. So thank you for our King Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.